women's sport, it has been quite a time. I mean, the WBBL and the victory by the Perth Scorchers and the crowd that attended that, the 36,000 that attended on Saturday for the Matildas and the USA. The only thing we didn't get was the result. In fact, it was pretty emphatic to the Americans, 3-0. Channel 10's Andy Harper, they're ready to cover the second match of that series up at McDonald Jones Stadium in Newcastle, the Matildas v the USA. Let's start there among a number of football topics I want to cover with Andy. How are you doing, Mr. Harper?
Buffy, I'm always better for hearing your voice.
That's very kind, very kind. Andy.
I knew that would move you.
Yeah, no, it has, really. The Matildas would be absolutely hell-bent on doing better than Saturday. I mean, it must have been such a thrill running out on home soil to such a huge crowd, but it would have been an incredible letdown, the result.
Well, yes. The performance generally, I saw so many exciting moments for long periods, particularly in that first half from the Matildas. It was a damp squib to start with, conceding a goal after 24 seconds. Not a record, I should say, in a night of records, because the crowd was fantastic. But the Americans' fastest ever goal was scored by Alex Morgan after 15 seconds in an Olympic Games match. So thankfully we didn't notch that one. A terrible start for the girls. Yep. And then you have to wonder about the preparation. But after that, they rebalanced. And the first half was a powerful, exciting display. The goals they conceded were horrible, though.
Well, look, there are excuses, I mean, for the defensive deficiencies, if you like. It is not the best defensive lineup that we can offer, and injuries are part of that.
Mm. Yes, but here's the negative side of the night for me. And I was just so thrilled by the night in general. But, you know, you've got to try and look at a 360-degree view on this. And it wasn't... Mate, I was thrilled that there was a couple of kids playing. I don't think he's aggressive enough, the coach, in trying to find solutions. Because, Vossi, this was a massive night for Australia. The first time in 21 years the Americans have been to play in Australia since the Sydney Olympics. They are so far and away the most dominant team in women's football since it's been organised globally. It's ridiculous. You know, effectively, let me put it this way, Vossi. The Women's Olympic Football Tournament is virtually another World Cup. Because unlike the men, there's no age restrictions on the Women's Olympic Tournament. So they're virtually getting two World Championships every 4 years, right? Now, the first Women's World Cup was 1991. Then the Olympics came a few years later. Therefore, since 1991, they've had 16 World Championships. The Americans have been in the Final Four 15 times. They've won that World Championship 8 times, right? So this was a massive night, and to play these guys was huge. Still, I believe he's too conservative in blooding new players. Now, he's going to say, I've given this many number of people caps, but getting a cap and playing 5 minutes at the end of a game is different from saddling up and getting a good chunk of 60, 70 minutes.
Sure.
So when we get to the World Cup in 2-3 years' time, what actually is the answer, Vossi, if, God help us, Sam Kerr is injured for the World Cup in 2023? Who's the deputy? Shouldn't we be finding that out now? And same with the central defenders.
Well, they are soccer friendly, so you can do these things. I'm touching wood at the moment. You mentioned Sam Kerr and injury. Heaven, no, heaven forbid. Now, can we change to the men's code? Mark Bosnich has been very vocal now about the Socceroos. And he has said, we are not going to qualify for the World Cup unless Graham Arnold tweaks tactics. Do you share the opinion of the passionate Bozza?
Well, I share his passion for the team. And I think that passion is reflected countrywide. I'd need a bit more information as to what Bozza's tactical tweaks mean. My view on it so far is that... again, I don't know if it's conservatism, but, you know, you've got, because of COVID, Vossi, there are extended benches in world football now, by which I mean up until COVID, no interchange in soccer, for any listeners who don't get it, and you have three subs. Once you make a sub, that's it. They can't come back on and off, et cetera, et cetera. COVID, because of a whole pile of reasons, extended that bench to five subs. So you've actually got, as a coach, a lot more leeway now tactically during a game to throw on different types of players. And the one thing that I would ask, would be suggesting as a discussion point amongst our fans, is that we've got a couple of live wire players. The jury on whom is out as to whether they can play a 90-minute international. I'm talking Daniel Arzani, and if you remember the name, Marco Tilio from the Olympic Games, who scored that fizzer against Argentina in the first game, plays for Melbourne City in the A-League men's comp. I want to know why one or two of those players aren't just sitting on the bench, tucked away to Graham Arnold's right for the last 10 minutes for a bit of magic to break up a packed defence, for something to change the temperature of the game. That is my big question at the moment. It is getting tight, though, Vossi. On the point of qualification and Boz's nerves, it is getting tight. Mm-hmm. Saudi have skipped five clear. I think most people are expecting Japan to nail down one of those top two places. So it's all heading to the away game in Saudi Arabia next January. January or March. Mate, it's going to be huge. And it is going to be a nervous ride. But we need a little bit more variety, I think, in the subs off the bench to try and change the temperature of the game.
The thoughts of Andy Harper from Channel 10 on the Socceroos. Just finally, just on the domestic front, we're two rounds into the new season, and of course we are having to operate under restrictions. It's sort of almost like two conferences at the moment. Yeah. Across in the EPL, Manchester United remain in the news, but overnight they have appointed, and it's no surprise, but the interim, pardon me, the interim manager is Ralph Rangnick. What can an interim manager do? What impact can he have when he knows he's not going to be there? You wouldn't think. He's 63 years of age, replacing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. What impact do you think he'll have?
Yeah, huge impact, because I think his tenure is going to go beyond the interim coaching period. I think that's very... my understanding of the deal is that he's coming in to settle the team down whilst they look for a full-time appointment. But even after that, he's going to stay on board at the club to provide football direction. I think it's a smart move. You know, Football clubs, they operate under a pack mentality, Vossi. And the German coaches out of this, what they call the Gegenpress, which is not a new football tactic, but it's this... Well, Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool manager, calls it heavy metal football, as opposed to Arsene Wenger's violin symphony type football approach. And the Gegenpress, the German word for this, all-out assault at various and appropriate moments, physically pressurising opponents up the field, winning the ball back quickly, and then doing your business. Now, you've got to have the right players to do that. Pep Guardiola's done his own version of that through Barcelona. This is nothing new. It just pops up every now and again in different forms. And because Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool and Thomas Tuchel at Chelsea, two exponents of this out of the German nursery, are doing so well, then guess what? It's the German coaches which are now the flavour of the month. And to match and beat these guys, you've got to get one of their own. So They've recruited Ralf Rangnick, who's one of the architects of the modern German Gegenpress, and he's got outstanding results. He's a really, really fine operator, got a huge reputation. And for once in recent memory, I think Manchester United have made a correct turn, and we'll see and hope that it works for them.
All righty. Interesting thoughts of Andy Harper. Always great to have you on the program. Enjoy the Matildas v USA. Another big crowd will be, again, one of the highlight stories of the night. Let's hope for a good performance and a good result.
Yeah, thanks, Vossi. They're pushing close to a full house at Newcastle, which will be great for the girls, great for everyone. And I think they'll do well. The team generally is playing with a lot of energy and excitement. It's going to be a great experience.
Channel 10 coverage from 7:30 tonight. Good on you, Andy. Thanks for coming on the program.